You will hear part of an interview with a language expert called Rod Chambers, who is talking about languages which are at risk of disappearing. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer, A, B or C. You now have 1 minute to look at part four.
Rod, you work in the field of saving endangered languages. What does that mean, and how did you become involved in it?
An endangered language is one at risk of disappearing. Nobody's learning it as a first language. I did a degree in communication, though decided against doing a course on the theme of endangered languages at that point. The issue had actually been staring me in the face my whole life. My grandparents speak a language with a limited population of speakers. Yet it was only when I visited an isolated community while I was traveling the world after university that I realized the importance of the matter. I could see that the younger people had moved away for work, so who would the language be passed on to?
Why do languages stop being spoken?
As technology spread, communication across the world has improved, and schools have focused on teaching international languages like English rather than minority languages. It's a pity, but it's understandable. People, such as those in the business world, are aware that they have to be able to speak to others in the global society, and parents may just stop using the minority language at home because they want their children to succeed in communicating in an international language.
Is it possible to save a language?
Yes, with a lot of determination from the whole community, including those who speak the majority language. Some simple measures can be taken. For example, putting up road signs, or launching a local TV station in the minority language, or printing official literature in that language can help people recognize it as a part of their community. These options aren't without their challenges, but there's plenty that can be done, provided communities are willing.
Is it really worth all that effort, though?
Of course. It's tempting to think that there are greater concerns, such as saving our rainforests or protecting endangered animal species. In a way, though, these are quite similar to a minority language. A lot of identity and culture is bound up in a language. So if you lose a language, you risk losing what may be thousands of years' worth of tradition and knowledge along with it.
And you're currently recording a language that's becoming extinct.
Right. There are only a handful of speakers left. And I've been recording some of them speaking the language. I focus on capturing as much natural language as possible, so I might get the person to talk about their childhood, for example. Questions about grammar can be difficult for interviewees to answer and not particularly helpful for me. Later, I listen carefully to the recordings and analyze the structures and vocabulary.
What happens with the data you've collected?
The material can be used as an important teaching tool. This means that current and future generations of children can listen to and learn about their ancestors' language. In some cases, languages are revived, brought back to life, in other words, and taught as a second language in schools, which is an attempt to maintain that connection with the past.
What can listeners do if they're interested in language-saving projects?
Several things. If your relatives or people in your local community speak an endangered language, persuade them to talk to you in it, so you can learn it and pass it on to your own children. Being surrounded by it will be enough without the need to ask for lessons. Or you can make your own recordings of people speaking and upload them onto an online database. Don't worry about doing any analysis. The experts will do that. That's it, really.
Now you will hear part four again.
Rod, you work in the field of saving endangered languages. What does that mean, and how did you become involved in it?
An endangered language is one at risk of disappearing. Nobody's learning it as a first language. I did a degree in communication, though decided against doing a course on the theme of endangered languages at that point. The issue had actually been staring me in the face my whole life. My grandparents speak a language with a limited population of speakers. Yet it was only when I visited an isolated community while I was traveling the world after university that I realized the importance of the matter. I could see that the younger people had moved away for work, so who would the language be passed on to?
Why do languages stop being spoken?
As technology spread, communication across the world has improved, and schools have focused on teaching international languages like English rather than minority languages. It's a pity, but it's understandable. People, such as those in the business world, are aware that they have to be able to speak to others in the global society, and parents may just stop using the minority language at home because they want their children to succeed in communicating in an international language.
Is it possible to save a language?
Yes, with a lot of determination from the whole community, including those who speak the majority language. Some simple measures can be taken. For example, putting up road signs, or launching a local TV station in the minority language, or printing official literature in that language can help people recognize it as a part of their community. These options aren't without their challenges, but there's plenty that can be done, provided communities are willing.
Is it really worth all that effort, though?
Of course. It's tempting to think that there are greater concerns, such as saving our rainforests or protecting endangered animal species. In a way, though, these are quite similar to a minority language. A lot of identity and culture is bound up in a language. So if you lose a language, you risk losing what may be thousands of years' worth of tradition and knowledge along with it.
And you're currently recording a language that's becoming extinct.
Right. There are only a handful of speakers left. And I've been recording some of them speaking the language. I focus on capturing as much natural language as possible, so I might get the person to talk about their childhood, for example. Questions about grammar can be difficult for interviewees to answer and not particularly helpful for me. Later, I listen carefully to the recordings and analyze the structures and vocabulary.
What happens with the data you've collected?
The material can be used as an important teaching tool. This means that current and future generations of children can listen to and learn about their ancestors' language. In some cases, languages are revived, brought back to life, in other words, and taught as a second language in schools, which is an attempt to maintain that connection with the past.
What can listeners do if they're interested in language-saving projects?
Several things. If your relatives or people in your local community speak an endangered language, persuade them to talk to you in it, so you can learn it and pass it on to your own children. Being surrounded by it will be enough without the need to ask for lessons. Or you can make your own recordings of people speaking and upload them onto an online database. Don't worry about doing any analysis. The experts will do that. That's it, really.
That is the end of part four.